You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Late Night Drive. My name is Ellie Schnitt.
My name is Michaela Oakland.
And, you know, we're sleepy but happy to have you in our car today. I won't fall asleep at the wheel. That I can promise you.
I am personally not a sleepy girl at the minute, so I could drive.
You could drive.
Is that okay? Like, are you okay with being in charge of snacks and activities?
Yeah, I'm not as good at it, but like I feel like for safety, I should be in the passenger seat today.
We're capable to be flexible in this situation. My mom keeps getting like letters from Volkswagen, and they've never had a Volkswagen. But maybe we're in a Volkswagen today. Do you know what that is?
Okay.
Like, why are they sending her letters?
I don't know why they're sending her letters.
Do any of you know why Volkswagen is sending my mother
would
letters?
Send
in the
your
mail?
Mother a letter? I can't think of anything.
But it's like
anything non-sinister.
But it's not like ads for Volkswagen. It's like you are a Volkswagen owner. Like you have a Volkswagen and we want to talk to you about your car. Like that kind of stuff. Which
and
is
she
why
never
it's
owned one like
never.
In her entire life?
No, she's never had a Volkswagen.
How strange. And how odd. Maybe someone's pranking her.
Yeah, I did like I have found some websites that I've accidentally signed my email for where I was like, oh, this would be a good email to sign someone you hate up for because they have been relentless.
You know who you should sign someone up for if you hate them? Is Princess Polly. Them bitches, they send 100 emails a day. And every time I unsubscribe, I'm like on a different mailing list somehow. I've had to unsubscribe like 10 times.
Well, I also get like multiple emails from every single retailer because I'll sign up with a new email all the time. Either because I forget or because I want the deal of like the first time user deal. So I'll get like 3 emails from FabFitFun, 3 emails from Revolve, 3 emails from Princess Polly every morning.
Oh my God. It's nonstop.
Do you know about the Kate Middleton disappearance rumors?
I don't know where she is. And I don't know why you're asking me in such an accusatory tone. I have nothing to do with her disappearance. Wait, I know nothing.
Why are you so sensitive about this?
I'm not being sensitive about it. You're accusing me of something just with your eyes.
New podcast rumor just dropped. Ellie is responsible for Kate Middleton's disappearance. No, because this is one of those experiences where I saw the jokes about it before I understood.
Oh, before you saw what was
situation.
Actually happening.
So I was like, yeah. What is going on with Kate Middleton? And someone was like, she got a BBL. And I was like, okay. Like, that's just what I'm going to believe. Like, I think that that's...
Yeah.
Now that that's in my head and my heart, I can just choose that that's the reality. She's off getting a BBO.
Do you remember the royal wedding?
I don't think I watched it.
I think I watched
Harry
it with
and
my
Meghan's?
Mom.
Or
no,
Kate Middleton?
Kate and William. William. His name is William. And so her sister was like her bridesmaid. And a lot of to-do was had about Pippa Middleton's bum and how shapely it was. And I want to say this was like 2008 or so. And so then I went back and looked at the pictures of Pippa Middleton at the, you know, at the ceremony. No bum to be found. just nothing to be seen whatsoever. Wait. I was actually shocked at how little there was there.
What year was this?
I don't know. Whenever they got married, probably
when we were in like high school,
long
middle
ago.
School, probably earlier
we were like
than that.
Young high school, or it
I
was
feel
either
like,
late middle school or early high school.
Because I feel like when did Kim Kardashian come on the scene with her butt and make it like such a thing? I think we were in high school at the time. I think.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like everyone was like freaking out. But anyways, every time I hear the Kate Middleton BBL rumors, I'm like, well, I'm sure those
what
comments about her sister really got to her. You know, imagine it's your wedding and everyone's talking about your sister's butt.
Real OGs know about Pippa.
The real ones were there. So, yeah, we don't know. Kate Middleton, I guess, hasn't been seen, although there was sort of a blurry cryptid style photo of her today in a car.
Which
she was wearing sunglasses, and I was like, that really
it's
could
more
be
suspicious, because why anybody? Are they now like, trying to show us? They're like, no, here's proof, she's out and about, she's alive.
Like, it's weird. And like, also there's all this stuff with, and I, mind you, I don't care about like royal stuff, but I guess like all the royals are like disappearing, dying, like yes. stepping down from public duties.
That's what
I'm
I've
like
seen.
What happened?
Didn't
what
doesn't
has
Charles
gone on?
Have
has cancer?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Pippa yeah. and Kate have the BBLs. Charles has cancer. What's her face is dead. What was her name? The Queen Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, yeah, Queen Elizabeth died. She is dead.
Do you think it's and retribution?
I don't know. I think it's Princess Diana maybe coming in there and sort of
getting retribution
having
for
her
herself
revenge.
And Meghan.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I don't think, like, even if she was really disappointed in her son, William, I feel like she would still not punish him. You know, that's her son.
That's true. And it's a mother's love. And you just can't, you know, nothing compares.
And she's a boy mom. So you just never know.
You just never know.
You never
you really
know
just never
mom.
Know. So we don't really know what's going on. I'm sure literally tomorrow there will be some sort of like definitive update, because I feel like every time we do something like this, it's like, well, actually she's fine or she's dead. You know, like something is, I mean, I hope she's not dead, you know.
We record this podcast on Mondays and then they come out Wednesday. And anytime we try to speculate, is someone dead? They always have to come out and say, no, they're not, before our episode drops. Now we look stupid. Now
we look stupid.
Idiot.
And it's like, don't they ever think the podcasters?
What about the podcasters? We have a 2-day turnaround. We have a 2-day turnaround on our podcast. What about that?
When will anyone think of the podcasters?
That's how I feel about Love is Blind. Like, it's so disappointing that it comes out the day that our episodes come out. So it can't
be so behind.
It can't be an updated update on it.
But in some ways it is, because who's already seen it by Wednesday
right.
morning? It's kind of like a nice primer before.
Oh, that's true.
Know,
that's a lovely way to look at it.
Yeah, well, I'm a beautiful woman with a lovely state of mind.
Speaking of that, I had a question for you based on Love is Blind. And it's not about the exact situation, but like
okay.
we will describe the situation briefly for context. But so Chelsea gets in a crazy argument. She's the Megan Fox girl. In a crazy argument with, what's his face?
Jimmy, and let me just say, those two, if you haven't watched it, they took us on a fucking whirlwind, because at first I was like, poor Chelsea, you know, poor Chelsea, she maybe misrepresented her looks a little bit, but this guy's being so rude. Somehow I've got a complete 180 and I'm like, this girl, she's abusing him. Like she like the way that they fight is bad.
Yeah,
but anyways,
it's so bad.
She, I guess, got martini drunk alone by herself.
Right.
You know, and whomst among us. And he had gone out. And so she, of course, had to pick a fight.
It very much reminded me of like, you are very, I hate calling someone insecure, but it feels like when you're insecure and you're starting a fight just to prove that they care about you, because like them getting emotional proves to you that they care. Like, that's how it felt to me.
Starting a fight just to prove that like they feel something
right.
and, you know, like I get that, but. I mean, I don't get
it. Mean, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do
You're
it.
You're aware
but I,
that it's
I,
a thing. You're aware that it's a human behavior
it.
That happens.
It. I could see like sort of like the worst impulse, like id
yeah.
version, like on her shoulder going, no, let's pick a fight. And it's like, no, Chelsea, stop. Chelsea,
yeah.
no. Anyways, she picks this fight. She says, it's embarrassing that you were out and people were texting me that you were out without me. And then he was like, I was there for an hour. I told you that you could. I invited you. I was home literally like so quick. And then she says she's got to switch tactics at this point. And she goes, well, who were you with?
3 times she switches tactics.
She does. And it really, it's kind of an amazing thing to watch. She's like, who are you with? And he said, well, are you trying to say if I was with my girl female friends? Because I was. And she goes, well, you didn't see that you were going to be with them. And he was like, I don't know what to tell you, Chelsea. I've been very clear that I have these friendships with these women. And she was like, well, you fucked her. You told me you fucked her and you're with her. And
which
Doesn't that make me look stupid?
Was very misleading the way they previewed that, because I thought they were talking about Jess and they made it seem like they were talking about Jess. But
I was like, Jess wouldn't do that.
No, totally unrelated. It was totally unrelated to anybody on the show. Just a girlfriend.
And I do want to say also, sorry for that impression. I just kind of had to do it. It just was inside of me and I just like really had to do it. It is tough to listen to, though.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I am not a fan of her. She's really hard to watch, but I'm reserving total judgment because I did go to her Instagram and I did see a comment that said your side of the story will be told soon, and I'm like, maybe there's something we don't know, maybe
there could be but
I do feel like he genuinely likes her. Like, I didn't think so in the beginning, but like after all of their conversations, he seems to really genuinely like want to make things work and like loves her.
And that's what's so hard to watch, because she's like pushing him away and then going, well, do you still love me though? And you should still love me and make me cookies. And it's just like very hard to watch. But anyways, she gets upset with him because he told her in confidence that he had hooked up with this female friend of his. Like, I don't know, one time they hooked up.
No, they were friends with benefits for a year.
What?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I've looked into this and they were friends with benefits for a year.
Okay, so that changes a lot in my head, because that would also make me feel very insecure.
So this was the question I wanted to ask you, like completely disregarding this exact situation. Like, it's not about Chelsea and Jimmy at all. Like, if you were dating someone and they actively hung out with a girl who was like, they're friends with benefit for a year, like, how would you feel about that? Would you be okay with that?
I would feel really weird about it. I mean, if she was in a relationship, that's different, you know? Right. Yeah. If there's like sort of an automatic boundary there, but like it would make me feel very, very uncomfortable. Not because like I wouldn't, unfortunately, like I am trusting of my partners to an almost lethal extent, but like I would just worry, because you just never know what people's, I wouldn't want her there lusting over him, or I wouldn't want to have to feel worried when I wasn't there.
Yeah, it's so situational. It is a hard question to answer, like, because I think it would really, really depend on the kind of relationship you have with the partner and like how you've seen them interact with this person. But back to Chelsea and Jimmy's situation, she is friends with her ex-husband. So it's like...
But I think that's a different situation, because she married him really young and like...
And they've like exhausted all possibilities and know that it's not...
there's a little more distance between that and like someone you were hooking up with for a while, like recently. Mm-hmm. Like, I would feel a little weird. Like, I get that they're friends. I'm not uncomfortable with like my partner having friends who are women. But I would feel weird.
Definitely not. I would want them to have friends who are women.
Yeah, thank God. If you don't have friends that are women, you're weird. Mm-hmm. And you probably don't really like women, like in that you just don't. And see women as people.
I think for someone like Chelsea, I feel like that would be a hard situation. Like, I'm not saying it's bad to be friends with someone that you've previously had sexual relationships with, but if your partner is someone who has trust issues and like does have insecurity problems, it's going to be a hard sell for that to
be. I think that clearly was like just really in her head, and I do think it's very situational, because I could see myself being fine with it depending on the circumstance.
Yeah,
you know, because it's also a little bit like, well, you guys were hooking up for like a year, like why didn't it ever go anywhere? Like, did you have feelings? Mm-hmm. Was it literally just physical, just when you were drunk, like just because you were lonely? Like, what was the situation?
I did feel like it was inappropriate, because clearly that girl didn't want it to be discussed on the show that she had hooked up with him. Like, that was private. And I think he made a point to say that, like,
he said that
we weren't going to discuss this on the show, which would piss me off. Like, you don't, she didn't sign up. I guess she did sign up to, like, go on the show, kind of, but not in the same capacity that Chelsea did. So I don't know. I just feel like it was...
I mean, I wouldn't want people to know that I hooked up with Jimmy.
No,
although he does seem like a nice boy, actually. Like, maybe. Surprisingly, just does kind of seem like a nice man. Like, well, and I hate to say that, but
we'll find out. We'll find out if we're...
We'll find out.
If we're, like, being made fools of right now, because that did happen with Himbo. So
it really did. But I sort of believe in Jimmy. There's some
sincerity.
Sort of, I mean, he's probably conservative. Like, so there's probably. That. Like, he probably doesn't think gay people like should exist. I think he like, loves Chelsea.
Like, yeah, unfortunately for the show, that's not like necessarily the point. It's more of like, does he right. care? Because, you know, there's someone for everybody. And it doesn't necessarily mean like any of
there's
us would ever date them. We would never date them, but like, you know, when you see a crazy person, you're like, but they're going to end up with someone, and who's it's going to be? And then you'd like to see that on Love is Blind, right? Like, oh, they're both people I don't like, but they work together. Nice. Aw.
Yeah, that's sort of the dream, right? That every lid has a pot and everyone can find love if they, even if you're the worst, you can still find love.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that was really sweet. Do you have any other thoughts on Love is Blind? What other couple is like the biggest to you? Oh, there was the
biggest in
Sarah Ann and that guy riding off on the
Jeremy. Listen to me
on
right
the jet
now.
Skis together.
Jeremy is a piece of work. The way I texted you,
yeah,
because I really was like, I couldn't keep it in. I didn't want to spoil anything, but I was angry because the way he smirked and like giggled as Laura was like, you packed up my stuff, like why are you being like this, like why are you being so, you're ending a marriage and you're like fine right now, and he's like smirking. Mm-hmm. I was like, somebody needs to take him out. Guess I'm elected. I really was so pissed off. And then for him to go riding on jet skis with Sarah. And then, mind you, Sarah Ann just being like, and I don't understand why everyone's calling me a homewrecker. Like, well,
okay,
you know,
I'm
there's
a
reason that people are saying that.
I'm a little bit of a Sarah Ann defender. Because here's the thing. This isn't a normal experience. This isn't a normal situation where, like, a guy is engaged and you DM them and try to get with them. Like, up until a week ago, it was potentially her who was going to get engaged to this guy. All she did, because she felt like it was open-ended, was send a message like, it was great getting to know you. Like, I hope you're happy. But, you know, if something changes, like, let me know. And I don't think that that's that crazy. And then when she met up with him, he was like, yeah, I made the wrong choice. I'm going to leave. So like from her end, she's just been like, okay, this guy I almost got engaged to because of this experiment that I went in where that's the point and it didn't work out. Like he chose the wrong person and he's telling me that. I don't think she like, I feel like she needs to sit down with Laura and compare timelines and compare like, because I just don't think sending that DM is such an awful thing to do. I'm sorry, I don't. Like, she doesn't really know Laura like that. Maybe for like a couple weeks in the pods, they kind of knew each other, but she almost got engaged to this guy.
I don't know. I just didn't like her attitude about the whole thing. Yeah, I just don't like that she felt like she was a victim when like a woman's engagement is ending, you know, like...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't like the way she acted in the second half, but I also feel like...
But maybe she had you in the first half. I'm not going to lie.
I just like don't think it's that... I don't feel like she was really responsible for stealing him away. I think she was like...
No, I mean, I think at the end of the day,
you know,
it's
that
his fault.
I'm in love like... with you, that I was in love with you, that I told you I was in love with you, and I still am. And if something changes, like, because I'm still in love with you, I would give it a shot with you. I don't think that that's that crazy.
I guess.
Like, they're not engaged in a normal way. Like, it's for a TV show where, like, they were dating other people up until a week ago. And she was one of them.
Yeah, I guess. But she, like, didn't, I don't know, I didn't like the way that
like
she
vibes
with
it. Like, the attitude about
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, no sympathy for, like, someone that you hurt at the end of the day. Because, like, yes, it's Jeremy's fault. Like, he owed, you know, Laura to not do that to her. Obviously, he owed her more than the way that he treated her. But at the same time, it's, like, you do know this other woman. And you, I don't know, to, like, not have any remorse for the fact that you probably hurt her, even if you didn't mean to, even if you were just following your heart. Like, I just don't, I think that's icky.
I think it, I will be curious to see if she felt differently watching it back and seeing how he spoke to Laura and like seeing how things actually were compared to like maybe what was being
what
told
she
to her.
Was seeing. Yeah.
Cause I don't know. Like
I guess we'll find out.
I'm jury is still out on her. I don't think she did anything good. I don't think she was like a good person, but I don't think she did anything where I would be like, Like, I wouldn't stop being friends with someone for doing something like that. I'd be like, you know what, girl? You followed your heart. You tried. You put yourself out there.
If it was my friend, I would be like, you go, girl. It just made me a little uncomfortable. I don't know. And obviously, yeah. Jeremy can literally eat fucking poison. What an asshole.
Oh, my God. And the thing is, like, watching someone, like you said, smirking when you're arguing with them, I feel like everyone has experienced someone like that, whether it was, like, a friend or a romantic partner, and something about it is so fucking infuriating. Like, you're, like, making light of me. Like, you look at me like an insect, it feels. I don't know.
It's like, I'm in pain and you're laughing. Mm-hmm. I'm in pain and you're smirking. You think it's funny that you did this to me, that I'm upset. You should kill yourself.
We need to count how many times you've done that on the podcast.
So many fucking times.
What was the first one? Who are we talking about? Probably guys who do deep fake porn or something like that.
There was something, and it wasn't like, I didn't say it jokey at all. I said it very, very like, and you should do this. It's like, oh, I should bleep
that. I am advising you legally.
Legally, this is what you should be doing with your life, ending it. Like, it was bad.
But I think here's whatever it was about was right. Oh. Sorry, what was your question?
Well, we were probably right. We would never say it. For someone who didn't, who shouldn't.
No, I actually do think it was about the AI, like deep fake porn. And I think that you were 100%.
That I'm right.
Real.
And I will say it again. I would say it again. So did you guys.
And you did. So.
Did you guys. And I did. And I would do that again. Did you guys do your spells?
I did, but not the exact one that we did. But I did like my own little thing.
You did your own ritual.
Yeah, I like did it at 11:11 because that's my time, you know, and like, But I loved it. I felt the energy. I felt like I was blessed with an extra day. I hope we didn't get any DMs about your spells, but I would love to know about your spells.
I would love to hear about your spells that you did. I definitely did it. I looked very silly picking up a leaf on the ground, but
sometimes
you just have to do silly things.
There was like a handsome man who saw you doing it. And when you explained it to me, I was like, this is the start of every Wattpad story. A beautiful man looking at her. Oh, my God, she's so different. What is she doing with that leaf? She's so unusual.
Unfortunately, like, that is just not what happened. Like,
in real
no
life.
One would have that thought in New York City. Like, you do see things that are like really upsetting and like disturbing. Like, so like he could have literally thought I was going to like eat it or something. Like, you know, like there was no, like, why is she putting a leaf in her purse? It's not some cute reason. It's probably a weird reason. Oh, she looked like a cute girl, but then she picked up a leaf off the dirty ground and put it in her purse. You know, it's not as enchanting as I think you were imagining it. It wasn't like a beautiful autumn leaf and like a beautiful sunshiny day. Like, no. It was a misty, overcast day, a dead leaf that was on the ground. Like,
well, when we were walking around in the neighborhood in fall here, we were picking up beautiful leaves. So that's kind of what I was picturing, because there were some really pretty leaves. And when I went out to walk with my nephew, he was like, oh my gosh, like this one's bright red and this one's bright orange. And like collecting them.
Like, February 29th, and like the leaves are like long dead. Like the fact that there even was a leaf, like a crusty. I was like a little surprised. Yes, it was like this thing. I don't know how it lasted.
Well, I have been picking up Tinder from the street. Tinder, and nobody's jealous of, or nobody's judged me for that. No one's jealous.
No, I bet
either,
they are pretty jealous of your Tinder. Well, I hope you guys did spells.
One question, what is going on with the Bradley Cooper pop crave quotes that are coming out?
The ones where he was like, I really didn't really feel connected to my daughter when she was first born.
And then also like, I'm comfortable with nudity. I used to take showers with my father all the time. Like, why are you? And Pop Bradley. Crave knows what they're doing. Pop Crave knows what it's doing when it puts out a quote picking. Like that.
Some very strange idea. Bradley Cooper, I do feel, has taken a strange turn. I feel like with the whole maestro thing, where he like really feels the spirit of Leonard Bernstein in him at all times.
Oh, yeah.
Also, like, there was a quote where he was
to
like,
his
I literally
family.
Feel him like coming inside of me. Like, he, like, said it like that. Oh, like, he didn't mean coming inside of me. He meant, like, course, I feel him, like, come inside of me. Mm-hmm. But, like, the way he said it, I was like, ooh. But you did say it like that, though, Bradley. Yeah. Is there something we need to talk about, Bradley?
My favorite clip is when he's with the dead guy's actual family and he's like, I miss him so much. And he saw me, he's like, I miss him all the time. I think about him all the time. And the family's just kind of looking at him like, okay, cool.
Like when actors go through their own sort of like off the deep end era where they just sort of lose it a little bit. It's like, okay, he's just being a funky little guy right now, I guess. He's sort of in his funky little guy era.
And the thing is, I could click the article and see in what context he was saying these things and potentially it wouldn't sound so crazy if I read the actual questions being asked of him to incite these answers. But I like to live in a world where he's just saying he showered with his dad unprompted and doesn't really fuck with his kid.
Yeah, and you know, I get it. Sometimes have we considered that his kid had rancid bad vibes? That's still to this day one of my favorite tweets ever of all time.
What is the what's the first half of that tweet? Like absent fathers or something? Or what was the
something about deadbeat dads? Like, have you considered the kid just had bad vibes?
Okay, important. You love this woman. Well,
I don't love this woman.
You love her genre of You love her.
I do love her genre of
colleagues.
Content.
Right?
Sure. Yeah, I sort of love her vibe.
The grave cleaning lady. And she's new, actually. I think I just started seeing her
last night or today.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grave cleaning lady.
So she's going, I'm sure if you've been on TikTok, you have seen some grave cleaning. But also, she's like going viral. This one is going viral on Twitter right now because it's like an abandoned grave in the middle of the night and she's cleaning it. So, of course, a lot of the quotes are like, white people are scared of nothing but equality. Like this kind of thing. Like there's ghosts and shit. Like, why would you be doing that? My hot take on the grave lady is like, first of all, I like watching people clean stuff. I kind of understand why that genre of like content pops off. Like I watch rug cleaning videos and they're so satisfying.
Yes.
The grave cleaning ones, what they will do, like the good ones, like the nice ladies, is like they clean the graves, which is just, I think, a nice thing to do. But they also like tell the story of the person who's died. And especially when it's like a really old headstone, it's like from like 1830 or something, and like you know it's like it's nice, it's like you're bringing their memory back to the world briefly, and also like cleaning their grave, and like this is someone who people used to love, and like they, you know, they deserve to have a clean grave and flowers put out for them, you know, like they were a person and they existed. And I find that very heartwarming. But what is very funny about this one in particular though is it's sort of very much so
her
a Scrub Daddy ad. It is. It's clearly sponsored content for Scrub Daddy.
Okay, I did watch like half of it, and then there's like a zoom in on the Scrub Daddy.
Daddy. Which, like, no, not the SponCon.
But this is what makes for great discourse, because it's like, yeah, there is something there that is really nice about her doing this. But then there's also something there where it's like drunk podcaster talking about murders on a, you know, on their show vibe to it, where it feels like
exploitative.
Yeah, but exploitative.
I think the overall thing
intention
is nicer than talking about murder. Like, I think the overall intention of just like cleaning a grave,
yeah,
like even if it's like a weird vibe to like this woman's energy where she's like, do you think this dead person liked cupcakes? Like, that's weird. That's a weird thing to say. On my life, that's a weird thing to say. But like, I think overall it's just a nice thing to do, to be cleaning these graves. But it's a weird vibe.
Let's pose the question. She makes a video with your grandfather. Well, who do you know that's dead?
Like long dead? Like would have a grave?
Just any.
Like sure, someone, I guess like I have like a dead grandpa.
Yeah, so sure. She makes a video cleaning a grave. It's your dead grandfather. Would you be like, I don't love this? Or would you be like, this is so nice.
I think if it was like my great grandfather who's buried mm-hmm. somewhere in like the Brooklyn Jewish Cemetery, and like we don't know where that, like, we haven't seen that grave. It's like 100 years old, you know? Like if mm-hmm. I saw a video of someone cleaning it, I would be like, oh my God, that's so nice that my fucking grandfather's grave is clean and I didn't have to do that for him.
You'd DM her and be like, what are the location of that?
I might actually. I might go see it if it was my grandpa. I don't know. I overall think it's a nice thing. I don't think it's like disrespectful to the dead. I think it's actually respectful of the dead to like.
Yeah, I would have to watch
their moment with like, I don't know, respect.
Yeah. And also like not everything about dead people has to be so solemn and so like somber and so sad. It can be like the cute questions. It's sort of like StoryWorth questions of like, I wonder if they liked riding a bicycle. I wonder what it was like when they learned how to drive. Like, I think that that's cute. I think some of her vibe comes off a little.
Her vibe is a little weird. Like,
a little weird. TikTokers, yeah, I'll be real.
Who just do it. They're not cleaners. They're like, they care about the graves. Like, that's what their thing is. They're like,
right.
They care more about like the historians, or there's like kind of like spiritual people who will do it. Mm-hmm. Her vibe is a little bit more like, I just love to clean. And okay. So, and it's like a little weird. It's like the women who like go and clean. I don't know if you've seen the TikToks of like the girl who's, I think it even might be her. If I'm being completely honest, it might have been her who like went to go clean like the McDonald's bathroom. And she's like, I'm getting kicked out because I tried to clean the McDonald's bathroom. And it's like,
I will say if someone was like, if they had a video cleaning the McDonald's bathroom and then their next one was cleaning my grandfather's grave, I would be like, okay. I don't know. It is weird. It is like a little off-putting, the like content-based vibe to it, like the making content of it thing. But I do like
the Beastification of it.
Yeah, I like that it's happening. I like the graves are getting cleaned. It's probably bringing attention to needing graves to be cleaned, which is good.
You know, I think what we're trying to put our fingers on, but it's sometimes hard, is like what's really difficult about a lot of content mm-hmm. today is that it's content, you know? Yeah. Like social media isn't just people doing shit. Like it's selling you stuff. It's like trying to create a brand, a vibe, mm-hmm. an image, trying to get views, trying to get whatever. And it's like, yeah, we've all, you know, there's always been people on social media who have been trying to do those things. But like TikTok is just like,
yeah,
things like that. Like there were people in like 2020, right? When I was watching videos of a woman who would go find like really sad old graves that no one cared about anymore, and she would clean them. And like, yes, it got a lot of views and stuff, and I'm sure that was really great, but that's not like why she started doing it.
It didn't link versus to Scrub like, Daddy.
Yes. And it's just like the way that everything is about selling you things, and everything is about like growing the platform and this niche of content and like the cleaning niche and like clean talk, like everything has like the little hashtag. It's very like, I don't know.
And it's
like
an aesthetic.
It makes it hard to like watch it. Yeah.
It's like in the aesthetic of cleaning TikTok, which is like odd.
Which is like, it's a grave, you know? Like,
I think what we struggle with is, it's hard to tell the intention, so it's hard to tell how to feel about it. Like, it's hard to tell if this is coming from a genuine place, then it's fine if it's a little bit odd, if she's a little bit odd about it. Like, it's a good thing to do and it's with good intentions. But if this is coming from like a weird, like, I want to get followers, I want to like get more sales on the Scrub Daddy and the cleaning solution that I used, and then it's like, it's icky.
And not to mention, a lot of like hashtag clean talk and cleaning videos like that are fetish content.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's also another part of it that I was like, is this fetish content? Like, I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even know that. It's like, even of the inanimate object cleaning TikToks can be fetish content.
I think like when there's cleaning? Like a. No, I think generally when there's like feet in it, a woman in it, like when there's a weird sequence that's happening, you don't really understand why they're doing it. It's usually because it's fetish content.
And then there's another layer. If you guys have any inside scoops on this, we always would love. This might be one of those things where we come back next week and we have a crazy update. like so actually. Often happens. She got bit at Dartmouth. Do you want to pull over?
Oh, I would love to pull over. Where are we pulling over to? Wait, I'm not driving. You have to pull over.
I'm pulling over, but we're going to do a cute little seatbelt check. It's a poem. We're bringing the poem. I don't know if we came up with a specific word for the poems. Scenic route or something like that.
And girl, I don't know, because my brain doesn't work very well sometimes. We love Mary Oliver on this podcast, mind you. And yes, it's a Mary Oliver poem.
We did one of hers a few months ago. And then I went to actually the country's largest outdoor bookstore yesterday. And they had a lovely Mary Oliver section. And, you know, I would love it if you would read this poem because you read it so much better than I ever could.
I would love to read this poem for us. So this is our seatbelt check. And this is the poem. It's called Don't Hesitate by Mary Oliver. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and not very often kind, and much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. Perhaps this is its way of fighting back, that sometimes something happens better than all the riches or power in the world. It could be anything, but very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb.
Isn't that so sweet? She's so it there's is so much sweet. Hope in her poetry, which I really like. Like I appreciate the Wild that. Geese one that we read a while mm-hmm. ago was very hopeful. And it's like, don't wait for the perfect moment to start enjoying life or to notice the beauty of it. Do it now. Do it wherever you can.
So is your seatbelt check here like almost a reminder to find beauty and find joy in the little moments in life?
Yeah, yeah. And to, you know, I had this realization when I was high, but not high, on shrooms. Is that called, is that considered high?
Yes, drugs.
Okay. I was on drugs and I was like, oh my God, I spent so much of my life avoiding life and distracting myself from life and like, the majority of what I spend my day doing is just a distraction from living. And I wish that I spent a higher percentage of my time actually experiencing. Like, there are so many beautiful things in the world that I wouldn't even have enough time to see them and beautiful places to go and sights to see. And I'm always like struggling with getting myself to remember that and like leaning into that and searching for those experiences more. But, like, that's not to say it's bad to rot a little bit and spend time on your phone, but that's a sad way to spend the majority of your time, you know? For me. To me.
To me?
To me.
To you. I love to rot. No. I do love to rot. But I don't know. I've always been a pretty optimistic person, like, always very much able to see the silver lining. But sometimes it's harder than others, especially, yeah. I think... I don't know, like, sometimes I think, like, we go through periods of life where we're, like, underground, kind of, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's, like, harder to see the sun. It's harder to see the flowers. It's harder to see the good things because you're, like, covered in dirt, sort of. Like, you're underground. You're waiting to – imagine you're a little root and you're, like, waiting to blossom. But, like, while you're waiting, it can be kind of hard to remember that there is a sun in the sky and there mm-hmm. is a, you know, there are other flowers and then there are so many beautiful things. So like if you're in a period where you're a little bit under the dirt, just, you know, I would ask that you try to remember that even in the darkness, there are good things happening around you, even if it doesn't feel like it right now.
Yeah. I think that's a good analogy for it because it does feel like you're sort of not even experiencing the world the way that the rest of the world is. Like, you're just in a different place than other people are. Like, you can't see the same things. The sun doesn't, like, you can't appreciate the sun. You don't see the sun the same way. You're not experiencing it. But there's always hope. And it really does start with finding things that bring you joy and bring you an appreciation for life, I believe.
And, like, I also think, like, it doesn't have to be big things. A lot of times mm-hmm. what can get me through a day is, like, oh my God, this, the clouds look so fucking pretty right now. Lately, I've just, every time it's been sunny out, even if it's 30 degrees, I go and I sit, I go on a little walk and then I sit on my stoop. I just sit in the sun and appreciate that, that the sun is there and it is warming me up and forcing myself to like feel it. Cause sometimes you just, you can't, like sometimes you just don't feel it. I also feel like in this time of year, I always think about Persephone. Our girl Persephone.
Goddess of spring.
Our little goddess Persephone that we decided to worship and then we sort of didn't, but we, you know, we think about her from time to time. On the Patreon,
she's,
we decided to worship Persephone.
Mine,
she's
our goddess.
And so she spends winter underground. Like she spends winter in hell and then in Hades, mm-hmm. and then she's the goddess of spring. And so she,
so relatable.
She comes back out there. So relatable.
I think,
but then
we all spend winter in hell.
But I do feel like that it's like such a good, it's a good metaphor for like sometimes you are literally underground. Like sometimes you just are waiting for it to be your time to be out in the sunshine, and it will come because it always does. And that's the way life is. Mm-hmm. Life is cyclical, you know, bad things happen and good things happen and it's a cycle and it happens. And like I think about Persephone sometimes when I'm like having an especially hard time. I'm like, I'm just under the ground right now. Like I'm just underground. Mm-hmm. But even under here, there's good stuff. There's worms in the dirt that are friendly, and maybe in Hades there's sort of a three-headed dog to pet, you know. There's always things that you can appreciate even if you're feeling like shit, and today is never too late to start doing it. It's never too late to like enjoy your day.
One of the signs that I'm getting better often will be that I see a flower and it brings me joy, you know what I mean? Where I'm like, oh, that's so beautiful. And that's why, you know, when I started to say, that's why spring is such a good time to have this conversation, because there are so many beautiful little things all around where you look that you can see and go, oh, this world is actually really lovely.
It is, though, isn't it? Like, even when I'm like miserable, I know
I
that
think
it is.
I like
there's
this
good
little
things.
Life.
Ew! That's the theme of this week.
Should it be the name of the episode?
I think I like this little life. So I guess that's our seatbelt check. Maybe the homework I would give you is before bed, you don't have to write it down if you don't want to, but I would just like list five things that you enjoy, mm-hmm. that you enjoyed in the day, that you saw that made you smile, that like felt good in your day. Just five things that you're mm-hmm. glad happened, that you saw and whatever. I'm glad I had a really good iced tea. I'm glad it was sunny. I'm glad, you know, I texted...
I'm glad I-
my friend got today, in, you know.
Got into my covers and it was warm in there.
Slay. You know, like it's never too small to enjoy it and it's never too late to do it.
That's beautiful. Should we tarot?
Yeah. Quick little episode this week.
I think.
Quick little check-in.
It's just because we've been doing so many hour-long episodes.
We really have. And like we were, I was sort of in psychosis last week and... You know, these things happen. I did, so on leap day, I started a new journal. I gave myself a 12-month tarot reading, which was really interesting.
Ooh.
You know how I've been telling everyone that I'm getting married next year?
Yeah, because you are.
Right, so because I'm getting married next year. Well, the cards said that I'm going to meet this person in December. And I'm like, okay, slay. Like, I have so much time to, like, really enjoy my year of being single.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not meeting him till December, like no pressure, you know, sort of no pressure. I can just sort of have fun until then.
Yeah, I think it's really great to always have those little mindsets going of like, well, what if I'm married? I'm going to be married next year. So I really need to enjoy this year dating as much as possible. Because it's like, even if you're not going to get married next year, it's still a good thing.
I am getting married next year.
But anyway, and well, and you are. I don't even know why I would bring that up as an option. But for
and
other
this
people.
This is my last year
for
sleeping
other people,
alone in a bed.
Because of course you're getting married next year. But for other people, if they're not, even if they're not getting married next year, it's still good to treat this year like your last year of being single.
That's so
single.
True. Yeah.
Because then what if you do meet your soulmate and it's like, wait, I didn't have like a fun, slutty time yet.
I know. Actually, I always think that whenever I've been dating someone, I always sometimes have a little sadness. Not because I'm like, I don't
because
know, just because I'm like, ah, I'm never... Well, a little bit sometimes. It's like, oh, I'm never gonna like fuck my celebrity crush. Like, I'm never gonna like hook up with that guy I thought was hot. Like, I'm never gonna do that, you know? Like,
kind of did.
Well, I did actually sleep with my celebrity crush, but you know, I have multiple. You know, a girl can have multiples.
That's so true. Yeah, there are more. There are more. There are more celebrity crushes that could be slept with.
That easily probably could be slept with if I really put my mind to it. So all I'm saying is I sometimes get a little sad. Like, even when I was dating this man that I was dating and I really was like, oh, I feel like this could be it. I was a little bit like, oh, that kind of sucks, though, because I never there are men left unfucked. There are dicks left unsucked. And I'm a little sad about it. You know, I'm a little sad about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, if you had gotten married, you would have gotten over that. But just in case you wouldn't have, let's be crazy. Let's get wild.
Yeah, I have to enjoy this year of my last year being single. Okay. So our card this week is the Queen of Cups.
Ooh, I love a queen card.
I like queen cards. Good, strong, feminine energy. I also think that she's like emotionally balanced woman or something like that. Let me see what she is. Yep. Emotionally mature woman, romantic, empathetic. So I do feel like for me, this is like a very healing card. It's like, this is the woman that you want to be. She's emotionally healed. She's romantic. Mm-hmm. She's mature. Like, she's like emotionally available because she like did the fucking work or whatever. And I guess like that's a beautiful thing to work towards. And maybe I will journal about how can I become this woman.
I love that. That's beautiful. I feel like that fits the theme. It's like softness, embracing our emotional warmth, you know?
Yeah. Sorry. I so agree.
Also, we might be soon doing an episode on religious trauma. We've gotten so many DMs about it. If you have anything
that's a little crazy,
you want to share. So many, like more than for most things that we've put out feelers for. So if you want to share any stories, please DM us. And also, if you guys have something that you really want to DM us, but Instagram won't let you send us any more messages, just comment help on one of our posts on Instagram, Late Night Drive Pod, and we will accept your DMs so that you can send us stuff. But behave.
Not help.
Behave with it. And that's Late Night Drive Pod. We also have patreon.com/latenightdrivepod. Speaking of, we'd like to shout out our birthday pigs, Curtis, Katie, Maya, Nathan, Flower Pig, Georgia, Zachary, and of course, Biscuits. Biscuits, the cat. And Biscuits, the cat's owner, who you know who you are.
You know who you are. I will say I also had an interaction with Georgia, who was on my Twitch stream the other night. It was great to see you. So thanks for hanging out. Shout out Georgia. And yeah, shout out Georgia.
We love our birthday pigs. We love all of you. We love all of
you. So very, very much. And, you know, I hope that as spring starts to sprung, you start feeling better if you're not, or you really appreciate and enjoy it. Get outside, smell some grass or whatever. And yeah, I love you guys so much. As always, have a good day, have a good night, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope it's a great one. We will catch you on the very next drive.
Thank you for coming to Late Night Drive. We hope you enjoy the drive.
Ooh. Ooh, okay.
Late Night Drive with Ellie and Michaela is brought to you by BetterHelp. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/LND today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, H-E-L-P.com/LND.